In the beginning, I was a total skeptic. I was like, why would you want to put your data somewhere else?
Before the cloud, some of my peers were reluctant.
Is it something that can work for me personally, but also for the clients I'm advising?
IT professionals are always seen as the people who spend money but don't bring any value.
And then that kind of changed when the cloud and the evolution of the cloud came into being. We're able to be more responsive as a whole. That's helping IT so we can take on other projects.
Before the cloud, I was just trying to keep up with the maintenance of day-to-day. But now, I'm free to come up with creative ideas. You know, how can our marketing team do more and do it from home and do it from Singapore or China?
When you're innovating, you don't want to have barriers.
Things have gotten a lot smoother. Less security to worry about, less bandwidth issues.
With cloud, you can add on as you go along. No need to invest in the hardware.
I see my whole infrastructure remotely on one device, one machine.
I can bring up my console and with a few clicks of a button, get a site up and running and then just reach out to the customer and say, hey, can you see it?
If I were to get advice, I would say be open to cloud.
My company now feels me as a more valued member of the team, coming up with new ideas, innovative ideas.
You will see yourself growing tremendously.
As important as you are, you could be so much more.
Learn as much as you can, expose yourself to what available options you have and take advantage of them.
Please welcome Julia White, Corporate Vice President, Microsoft.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning and for spending the next couple days with us talking about all aspects of the Microsoft Cloud. Now, I actually had a chance to work with all of those individuals that were in that video on their journey to the cloud and what they were able to do inside their organizations, driving that digital transformation, being more innovative, and actually overall driving company change in what they were doing. It's such an exciting time. So hopefully everyone came to learn a lot. So this morning, we spent about an hour together giving you a sense of kind of our vision of the cloud and a high level and areas to think about as you head into kind of the more hands-on day-to-day kind of activities for the next 2 days of the training session. But again, thank you so much for being here. So let me jump in on starting with Microsoft's mission. And I start here because everything we do is really grounded in this. We're a very values-based organization, and ultimately, we're here to empower both people and organizations across the globe to achieve more. Everything we do is docked in that empowerment, and ultimately, all of our engineering, all of our account teams, everything comes down to that. So I just want to have that framing as you think about working with us, and that is our ultimate goal and how we build technology and deliver technology to and with everyone here today. Now, to kind of make the mission real, we internally are focused on three core areas. Again, just to kind of frame up, Microsoft's a very large organization, so just what exactly do we deliver and how do we think about it? First, of course, building solutions that provide more personal computing. Things like HoloLens and Windows 10 and Cortana, a whole range of capabilities of making it a truly personal experience. And then, of course, building solutions to reinvent productivity and business processes. And those of you who have been in that part of the world for a while, you know, typically there's been the productivity experiences and then separately and distinct business processes, where really this is just a fluid continuum. And we can think about solutions holistically, both the structured workflow as well as the unstructured, and create incredible new capabilities in that area. And then last, but certainly not least, around the building an intelligent cloud that empowers all of your solutions, as well as helping be more efficient and more effective and ultimately more innovative in your organizations as you do that. So all of that kind of comes together in how we think about the different types of technology that we deliver to all of you to hopefully deliver better organizational outcomes overall. Now, you know, let's take it back to a second in terms of the cloud, which is why we're here and what we're talking about much of these next 2 days. Now, Microsoft Cloud is incredibly expansive, so I want to spend just a minute on exactly what it is when we say the Microsoft Cloud. Now, that starts with productivity, capabilities around Office 365, email, collaboration, real-time, Teams, working globally, that core area. Then extending into line of business applications, customer engagement, field engagement, field services, its core ERP systems, all via our Dynamics 365 product line. then into ultimately app innovation, which so much is happening around that. We'll spend a lot more time this morning and through the next couple of days on app innovation. And that's where ultimately the cloud comes into play for the Azure, the core infrastructure, the platform services. But there is no great app innovation without intelligence and the data that powers it. It really is that data that's the fuel of app innovation. And that's where our capabilities, some from our heritage of SQL, but all into Cortana Intelligence, our Azure Data Services, and incredible capabilities now extending into a full artificial intelligence part of that area. And you may not know, Microsoft has recently created an entire organization within the company on AI alone. So it's a massive investment in that area and very much where we see things going in the future. And none of that, of course, matters without the security and management. And sometimes I talk about our security cloud, and people had no idea about the level of investment we're making there. $1 billion a year spent in security R&D investments and innovation. And so a massive focus for us, particularly as things move to the cloud. And you have to think about security and privacy in those areas a little bit differently, but have a robust cloud solution for both security as well as management. And those parts are fantastic, and they're all very important. But ultimately, they come together to shape and work together in concert to make the Microsoft cloud. And no matter which part of the cloud you're using, where you start, where you go, and what your unique journey will look like and how you do that, we deliver our cloud with three core promises, all parts of it, that it's global, that it's trusted, and that it's hybrid. So let me spend a minute on explaining what each one of those are. So first, from a global perspective, we've been spending the past several years building out a massive global cloud data center infrastructure. We now have 38 regions across the globe. That is more than about both of the major cloud providers put together in terms of overall scale and availability. And each one of those dots looks small, but is actually a cluster of data centers. So massive, over 100 different data centers that make up those individual regions. And by putting them across the globe in the way we do, it enables you to deliver solutions closer to your customers, closer to your employees based on where you're serving, as well as compete in a broad geographical market as well, because you can decide what applications sit in which places. Now, beyond just the overall global region, since we're here in DC, of course, I want to speak a little bit about the specific dedicated government cloud regions that we have. So we have very specific centers that are unique for government, for the US government specifically, and meet higher level of standards. We can provide very specific government regulations. So as we talk to different agencies in this area, particularly of, hey, what can you meet my unique needs? Absolutely, a very significant investment in this area. Now, just a call out on a couple of these things. First of all, the dedicated regions have DoD impact level 2, 4, 5, uniquely level 5 impact meeting the requirements, as well as ITAR. So we have established a very high bar in terms of what we're able to deliver via our clouds in these unique regions. And we have 6 million cloud users across 7,000 government organizations represented across this infrastructure that we have. So it's been something we've been investing for many years and continue to bring it higher and higher in terms of the requirements and the policies and the regulations that we're able to meet. Ultimately, we want to make sure that any government organization that chooses to use the cloud can very successfully use the Microsoft cloud. So we're not certainly done in this area, but very uniquely meeting the highest bar in the industry on these areas specifically. Now, again, I said each of those dots kind of look small, but they're not. We have a lot of customers who want to see our data centers, want to understand them. And we do have tours, which you can participate in. But I wanted to give everyone just a sense of what one looks like so you can understand the magnitude that each one of these represent. So I'm going to just roll a video that gives you a sense of what these individual data centers looks like. So why don't we roll that video real quickly? Again, just to give you a sense of what one of those looks like and the type of infrastructure we're building across the globe, and we're continuing to build out these data centers so we can meet all of the capacity and customer requirements across the globe. Now, transitioning from our global infrastructure into trust. Now, ultimately, putting your infrastructure, using applications out of the cloud requires that you trust who you're working with. And we started this trust promise many, many years ago now around ensuring security, privacy, compliance, and transparency in all of our operations of our cloud. And we set out over 6 years ago with these promises to say we will set the industry bar and continue to bring it up year over year, which is exactly what we've done in investing. And I'm incredibly proud of the work that we've done in this area. Our cloud infrastructure, our Microsoft cloud overall has more certifications than any other public cloud provider on the planet. We have unique data privacy capabilities. We've been an advocate for privacy in the cloud in places where oftentimes there isn't law. We have to go and work with different governments, different agencies across the globe to create the law and then meet them. And then we've recently even extended that to take it to the next level where if you're building applications on Azure, we will provide unique IP capabilities. So if someone comes after you for your IP, we will actually let you use our patent portfolio, Microsoft's largest patent portfolio in the industry, to protect yourself. So taking it even to the next level to ensure that innovation is unfettered in the cloud world, where we have so much possible in that area. And then we uniquely in this world too have uncapped indemnity in terms of using our cloud services. So again, we kind of set early that we want to be the industry leader across those promises of trust and continue to invest towards that end. Now beyond the standard capabilities, certainly around government uniquely too, because of this, we've been able to meet 100% of the federal cabinet agency's requirements in terms of using the Microsoft cloud. And again, that's not without that hard work around trust and making sure we meet all of those requirements. And it's, again, really proud to say we're able to do this because of those investments. And that's one also where if you see something you need around a compliance or requirement or a policy, and we haven't met it yet, come work with us. That's some of the most important things we can do together to work through what is required and then meet that. And I've had the opportunity to work with many regulated companies and industries across the globe to go define what the requirements are and then meet them collectively together. So an opportunity to work together if you see more that's needed in this area. And then beyond that, very specifically, again, here in DC, I wanted to call out in terms of the requirements we've met with CJIS across 27 states, as well as FedRAMP, over 32 of our cloud services approved in that area. And again, we're continuing on this journey, but a place that we have very unique investments and unique differentiation in terms of as you think about different cloud opportunities and cloud choices you have, that this is a place we're very, very invested. Now, turning from trust to the last area around hybrid. Now, we talk a lot about hybrid, and people say, gosh, why is that? And well, ultimately, hybrid matters to every organization. Unless you're a brand new startup who's never bought a server ever, hybrid is essentially a core to what you're doing. And we talk about hybrid, and other vendors talk about hybrid, but what we do is actually very unique in the way we do it in a consistent fashion. Because many organizations, as you think about making that journey to the cloud, you have your existing data center investments there, and you then spin up a cloud environment, it can actually be two distinct environments. You're running two different environments that are just connected. But that means different security, different identity, different user experiences in that type of model. We have a very different point of view. We're the only vendor on the planet that deeply understands on-premises technology, as well as having a massive global public cloud capability from infrastructure to application. So we very uniquely have the understanding of what it means to run a hybrid in a consistent fashion, so that it's not like you're running two different environments, but you have a shared identity system. You have a shared productivity experience for your users. You have a single security management framework across them, and even your developers, you can build one application and run it in two different places in a consistent fashion. And that, while we all say hybrid, what we do is quite unique in this area, maybe most unique of all the things we're doing. And so I encourage you to really understand what that looks like, because it's so core to all cloud journeys and thinking about how that hybrid experience works and how you use the technologies in those areas. Now, through those investments, we were able to get over 90% of Fortune 500 using the Microsoft Cloud. And you'll see in there, you know, commercial companies across the globe, but also government agencies too, both here in the US as well as internationally. And again, because of the work we've done, both from a technology perspective, the global capabilities, that trusted area, and then of course, creating that rich, consistent hybrid experience in that area. Now, I want to actually, rather than talk about some of those customers, actually talk to some of two fantastic customers that I'm so thrilled have joined us here today. So I'd actually like to welcome from the National Institutes of Health, Michael Hansen, Dr. Michael Hansen, and then from the Small Business Administration, Guy Cavallo. So go ahead and come on up. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much. Thanks again for being here. You both have fantastic and interesting stories that I can't wait for to share out here. So let's just start real quickly of just a little bit about your organization so people have a sense of what you do. Do you want to start, Michael?
Sure. I'm with the National Institutes of Health, and we do health science research, develop new technologies in my laboratory to do imaging in particular. So we're interested in medical imaging, and we develop new instruments, and these instruments are, they're not cameras. They produce a lot of raw data that needs to be processed to turn that into imaging, into images that can be interpreted by clinicians, and that's where we use cloud computing.
Got it. So MRIs for the lay people.
Yeah, MRI is my particular area of expertise, but we're interested in, MRI is the classical example of something that's not a camera.
Okay.
Although people think of it that way, but yeah.
Great, fair enough. Now, and Guy, in terms of the Small Business Association.
Sure, the Small Business Administration has been around 64 years now, and I think some of our technology was bought back then.
I'm sure they can relate.
we're still uncovering some of those old ones. Again, Small Business Administration supports employing more than half of the U.S. workforce, very dedicated to helping small businesses get started with consulting, disaster assistance, things that I had not known before I joined them, that when something like Hurricane Katrina happens, the small businesses in that area obviously are very impacted, and Small Business Administration has a disaster team that goes in and provides financing to those companies so that they can get back on their feet. Obviously much easier to get back on their feet if they're in the cloud than if they have a physical data center that's been destroyed.
Fair enough. Great. And you're formerly at the TSA as well, so you've got some experience across a few different organizations.
Yes, very large organization and a very small one, quite different between the two.
Good. Now, I'd love just to hear a little bit, start with Michael, in terms of how you're using cloud technology and kind of some examples of what's going on there.
Yes, so an MRI system, for instance, we want to try and get the scan done as quickly as possible, so it's as convenient as possible for the patient, and so we often end up with a data set that's incomplete, and then in various ways corrupted because patients breathe and move and all these inconvenient things. And so we try to deal with that in what we call the reconstruction, so do corrections for all of this, and it takes a lot of computing power, and that's what we develop new techniques for. But previously we would then have to buy a rack of computers, stand that up next to the scanners, and then use that, which makes it kind of hard to work with. But instead what we do now is we stream this data in real time while the patient's on the table into the cloud, the images get reconstructed, they return to the scanner in a way that's transparent to the user, to the clinicians involved, and then we're able to get these very advanced applications running in a time that's compatible with getting the images and seeing the images before you take the patient off the table again.
Got it. So you're working under the tight time pressures, right? If you have a patient in anesthesia, you don't want to bring them up and then realize you need more images.
Yes. Yeah, so one of my particular interest areas is imaging kids that move around and all that stuff. If you've ever tried to ask a five-year-old to sit still for 2 minutes, you'll know that that's not so easy. And so in that context, when we have those patients in the scanner, you really want to make sure that you have your images and that they're okay before the patient goes home, mm-hmm. because bringing them back is difficult. So we're under a lot of time pressure to get that done quickly.
Got it. So you have your local application running in the room, and then you're basically bursting to the cloud for all your big analysis, being in real time, streaming it back, and then seeing the output.
Exactly. And what's nice now about doing this in the cloud is that we, at the NIH, we're very interested in not just developing cool technology that we like to use and that we demonstrate and write papers about, but we want to be able to deploy it anywhere. anywhere in this country, but anywhere in the world. So we have a lot of collaborators in the UK, for instance, and now rather than specking out a rack of equipment for them to buy, it's now just software. We send them some software, and then we can stand it up in a data center in Europe, which is a huge difference in terms of deployability.
They can just use the cloud locally wherever they might
be. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, and also, you talked about with me earlier about then on the as a researcher on the back end, you can tap into the cloud for deep analysis and other aspects as well.
Yes, this is what I, as a scientist, really love about this, is that if I have an idea and I realize I'm going to need 50 computing nodes in order to make this work, what I would have to usually do is then propose a project, we get people in the room, it takes 2 years, we stand up a bunch of infrastructure, and meanwhile I've forgotten what I was working on. But here now we can actually have an idea on Monday morning, have it running by the middle of the week, and then it may not work, but we haven't invested a lot of time in it and also not a lot of money. So as a scientist, being flexible and nimble and being able to move on an idea, quickly determining whether it's good or bad, and then if it's good, we can actually then deploy it as well, which is really exciting. So scientifically, it has a special utility, if you will.
You can truly be testing hypotheses real time without building data centers.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, so Guy, a little bit about the applications and what SBA is doing.
Oh, sure. One thing I recommend, if you've not talked to your CFO, ask them if they love it when you come back to them, whether it's every 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, and your spend like this, and then all of a sudden you go, I got to replace my data center. All the servers, the storage arrays are costing us too much. So what we're doing is we're getting out of the hardware business. I'm hoping not to buy another server or storage array, and that everything we're doing in the cloud. So we launched a project in January of this year, and by December, we will be closing down our main data center, and as much as humanly as possible is gonna be migrated to the cloud. Again, I've talked to my CFO about that, and I said, you know, I'm gonna need more money to do that, but if I can get rid of that spike, would you like that? And they said, yes. So again, this is, the Small Business Administration is not in business to be a technology organization. Our job is to help the small businesses. So if I can give the CFO and the agency a very firm price that here's what it's going to cost with disaster recovery, a lot of the benefits of the cloud that are difficult for most agencies that aren't in the cloud to do, business continuity. What if your main data center shuts down? How many systems can you really seamlessly turn to without your customers realizing that there was downtime? So we're looking at all of those advantages, like I said, plus getting out of the hardware business. Part of the process is you've got to look at where you are. Like most agencies, we did not stay current with our technology, so we're working on upgrading Active Directory, all of our Microsoft products that we're moving as servers to the cloud. But I don't have time to do that, so what we're going to do, we're expecting to be stood up in May. So again, we started in January, and we have our architecture, and we're looking at production in May. So this does not take you 2 to 3 years to do, like the buying the physical data centers and getting the assets in. But we are doing a lot of infrastructure as a service, and we've created 4 zones. We have a standard development, test, and production. Those are all going to be running, and my edict to the team is we can't put our old dirty laundry in the cloud. So no SQL Server 2005 or SharePoint 2003. It's got to be the current stuff. They're great in their time. But then how do I get everything out of the data center that's not quite that old, but that's, we actually have set up an area that we're calling Area X, and that's where we're going to lift and shift our current environment as quickly as possible. And then what we'll do with those applications, we're either going to rewrite them if they're very difficult, or we're going to just move them and upgrade them in the cloud instead of waiting to do it on-prem.
That's smart. They're very smart. Now, to do, I mean, a full data center transformation, I'll call it, in terms of moving everything to the cloud, there's certainly a lot of technology, and there's modernization and what you spoke about, but there's also internal cultural change that comes with that. I'd love to hear how you have successfully done that now in your second organization in government.
Oh, sure. First of all, doing a transformation to cloud, if you think it's a technology project, you've missed the point. It is a people and an organizational transformation, and you need to approach it that way from day one. In both TSA and SBA, I went to the staff and I said, there's three ways that we can move to the cloud. One is I can hire the top cloud consultants, have them come in and quickly move us as long as all of my employees get out of the way and watch it happen. So the second option I have is that we can invest heavily in training and get all of you caught up to speed on cloud, but that's going to take us 3 or 4 years before we can even get started. And what I did both at TSA and SBA, which I recommend is your best approach, is a combination of the two. Bring in cloud consultants to help work with the existing staff. And then you build teams. In both cases, I stood up a Tiger team. And very important, traditional IT, your security office, your engineering office, enterprise architecture, privacy, are all treated as separate silos. What I did in both places is I brought them in on day one, and I have every group from IT include the developers in that too, so that even as we're designing the architecture for our cloud environment, the privacy people are there at the beginning, the engineers are there at the beginning. If you let your engineers build it and then throw it over the fence to security and privacy, which is what traditionally is done, again, you're going to find that there's a lot of pushback that you're going to get, and it's going to slow the project down. So I believe in a big group, bringing them all together. We call it multiple trains leaving the station at the same time. I have five different teams all working, one on architecture, one on re-engineering ourselves. And the as far as our processes, what I told the team to do is throw out what we're doing in the data center. Do not try to rewrite what was written in the 60s and the 70s and updated occasionally, but let's use the best cloud practices today and bring them down and make sure that we're federally compliant with those. And then, you know, that's the approach. And my last word of advice is, just by coincidence or not, when you hire that cloud lead, make sure that his first name is Jay and the last name starts with an H, because in both cases, I have a JH from two different organizations as my top cloud architect. So everyone
with those initials just perked up.
So look for JH, because they've been fabulous. One was with AT&F, one's been with the private sector.
But I think that's to your org structure. You took basically an agile, almost a DevOps approach to bringing the different stakeholders together from the very beginning versus letting them kind of be siloed as you move to the cloud, which I see that in other customers who've been very successful. I think there's really good insight in that piece of it particularly. All right, so I'm not letting off the hook before talking about security and privacy, because that obviously comes up of like, are you able to have sensitive medical information? You obviously have different business level information. So interested in how you approach that in your application you worked with.
Yes, it turns out that it's not such a big deal for us when you think it through. But the first reaction is always like, oh, you can't put patient data in the cloud. There's privacy issues and all of that. But it turns out in our case, we have this reconstruction engine sitting in the cloud, but it doesn't need to know what the name of the patient is, what the age of the patient is, any of those things. So all of that is kind of handled locally on the imaging instruments, and it just sends some data out that's not identified in any way, and images come back and they go on the scanner. So once you talk your colleagues through that, it's actually not such a big deal. So I would say the same. This is actually not a technical problem. It's a cultural problem. It's a people management problem. It's explaining to everybody what you're actually doing. And then we add some extra layers on top of it. We always use encrypted connections and do other things. But it turns out for most of these applications, for medical processing of medical data, the part that processes the data, does the number crunching, does not need to know the name of the patient. So it solves itself if you set it up correctly, but you do need to explain it, which I think goes to the people management side of it.
Both are important, both the culture as well as the technology in that piece. Well, thank you so much. Any final words of wisdom as you think about all these folks thinking about how they're using the cloud and continuing to invest in cloud technologies?
Well, I would just say what I encourage my colleagues around the world to do is that I would say the same as you. Before I buy any equipment now, I always stop and think, is there a way for me to not buy this equipment? And I would kind of like for everybody to just get that as an automated thing in their heads, because we're not in the business of standing up data centers. Mm-hmm. We don't do it well, it's not exciting, and it's better left to somebody who actually does that for a living.
And be able to see those great patient results, right? And seeing, you know, improved customer experience, or patient experience, and insight certainly is a good motivator as well.
Exactly. So. Focus on what we do best.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you both so very much for being here and for sharing your stories.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. All right, so let's turn a little bit now to the technology itself and get some hands-on. So first of all, starting with Azure. And Azure is a lot of things. They're going to have a map of all the different core technologies. At the bottom, we have that core infrastructure, storage, compute, networking, security, and that area which you can use to run your applications and all your entire data center if you choose. And then building on that is our platform services, more highly engineered to be able to write directly into those APIs and take advantage of those kind of pre-configured solutions. And that's an area where developer efficiency really comes into a premium and able to innovate incredibly quickly. And of course, on top of that, an integrated and rich set of developer tools that empower any developer using any language, developing for any platform in that area. And that collectively is what Azure does and provides. But beyond just that, I like to make sure you talk about, we support all different kinds of technologies, whether it's at that core infrastructure level or at that platform level. And sometimes I show this and people are surprised still, but hopefully less and less over time in terms of having world-class support for open source technology. We want you to be successful using all different types of applications and systems and tools using Azure in that area. And over a third of our VMs running in Azure today are Linux. And so we have a world-class Linux experience. We want that robust across all of the technology stack holistically. But it's not just about the technology. It's also about, ultimately, you want to build solutions on Azure. And so over the past several years, we've been hard at work at creating solutions that are able for you to get up and running, you have best practices, templates, all the way down to actually resources you can deploy right into Azure to get started on whether it be a dev test environment or it be a customer-facing mobile application, so that you don't have to worry as much about which of the different services of Azure are best configured together. We've done that work for you. You can come in and just see and get up and running with the best way to do a customer-facing application or to do an IoT solution. And so you can move very quickly in learning about that. As Michael talked, the idea of being able to take your hypothesis and test it quickly, any one of these solutions, and we have more, of course, you can just kind of get up and running and pilot and see without spending a lot of time on the different configurations and get a sense of what's possible and then where to build from there in that area. Now, as we think about those different solutions, one of the first questions I tend to get is around, okay, that's great, but I have infrastructure in my data center, infrastructure in my cloud, and therefore I need a consistent hybrid management and security solution. And that's exactly what we provide, in having a holistic and consistent way to manage assets on premises, as well as in Azure in the cloud. And that's across things like log analytics and automation, backup, disaster recovery, and insights on that whole spectrum of things. And that way, as whether you're running in the transition to move your whole data center or you're just moving some of your applications, you know that you have one holistic way to think about management and security across that whole environment. Now, to show you a little bit what that looks like, I'd like to ask Praveen to join us up here to give us a quick demo of what some of that holistic management and security experience looks like. So welcome, Praveen. Let's take it away.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited here to be here to really show you the value of Azure in action. As Julia mentioned, Azure is truly a global platform. You have access to several resources for all of your workloads and applications, right from compute, network, storage, and also the advanced solutions in Azure. Not only that, it provides you reach beyond the public private cloud and in on-premises for the hybrid capabilities. And also, with a lot of built-in security resources and solutions, Azure is your true trusted partner. Let's get started with this demo. What I'm showing you in the screen is the pure HTML5 portal. This is an Azure management portal where you could see, which every one of you are familiar with, some of the virtual machines that I have deployed across different regions. It's actually running Linux and Windows Server. Not only this, you could actually see several services on the side which have PIN, and this gives me the ability to deploy all the resources I need for all my workloads and applications across the globe. It's not just that. Any time you have global infrastructure resources, it entails the question, how do you manage and monitor that? In Azure, you have something called this Azure Monitor. It's a built-in native platform capability that collates all the metrics, all the alerts, all the objects, and provides a centralized repository. Why is this important? I used to be an IT consultant myself, and every time I used to get an IT ticket, I literally have to log into multiple consoles and open multiple devices to look at the logs. But now, for all the Azure users, in Azure, you have one place to just go and find what you need. It's kind of everything is available in the browser. Then it begs the question for us, what if I have some resources in the on-premises? What if I don't have all my resources just in the public cloud, just in Azure? Then we provide you an ability to collate all the log information across any data sources using an agent, and that's with the capability called log search capability, and that is the log analytics piece. So before I get into the log analytics piece, I'm going to show you from a debugging perspective how you can use this portal and get value out of it. What you see in the screen is an Azure Monitor view of metrics. You could actually filter by subscriptions, by resource groups, as well as resources. I have already filtered for a Contosa loan web app, and I'm going to just pick and choose a couple of metrics here, the CPU time and average response time. What it does is, as an IT professional, it provides me a means to actually look at the metrics I need to debug and pinpoint any operational issues. It's not just that. It provides you a way to pin to a dashboard here, so you can easily come back to this view anytime you need it. When you scroll down, you could see there is a set of alerts here. What happens is in IT, typically you want to be able to be notified if there is some form of issue, so you can just attach an alert to it as well. Now let's move on to the capability of the log search, which actually uses, if many of you have System Center deployed on-premises, it uses the same System Center Operations Manager agent to pull all the log information. So once you pull all the log information and then get into this view, you can actually select one of your workspaces. This is the Operations Management Suite capability, where in the log search, in order to just show you the power of this, I'm just going to do a wildcard search here. Think of this as having your own search engine that can literally crawl through all the log information in your data center and provide the insights you need. You could see that within a few seconds, it has pulled in 30 million records of data. But some of you may say to me that, hey, this is great, but how do I make sense out of this data? Then we have the ability to actually write queries. In this case, I'm going to show you a simple query that's going to collect and show us the distribution of type of data available in the system. Quickly, Azure understands the query and provides you in a readable way that this particular log analytics capability has collected log information across performance, security event, wire data, and so on and forth. But many of you may also be having this question. You know what? I don't want to be writing detailed queries or scripts. Is there a way you can give me out-of-the-box or built-in solution views that we have in this operations management suite? What you see here is a dashboard of overview of different solutions, starting from Active Directory assessment and alert management to application insights to containers, change tracking, and the list goes on. What is this? Each of these dashboards are nothing but set of logic rules that actually works on some correlation logic of all the log information we have collected from you and provides the insights you need. One of the actual useful and interesting solution for many of our customers is the system update assessment. So I'm going to click on this to show you the view of different postures it provides natively. What it shows you is the ability, what it has collected from Windows servers and Linux, all the insight information, all the updates, whether it's critical, security, whatever you need, now you have at one place. It's not just that. You can even deploy these updates just from the cloud. So far you have seen the monitoring capabilities built into Azure from a platform perspective in Azure Monitor, which is being extended to your hybrid on-premises infrastructure using the log analytics and solutions available in Operations Management Suite. Now let's shift gear and look at my custom monitoring dashboard. Actually, using those solutions which I mentioned earlier, I have pinned some of the solutions here. So this you can customize based on the role. Many of you may be a database admin, some of you may be a virtual machines admin. Depending on what is your day-to-day activities and needs, you can customize your dashboard as well. Again, top of the mind of many of you is the security things, right? So what we have in Azure is built-in security capability in terms of Azure Security Center. It uses the same log analytics capability and the other alerting collation capability and correlates with the security information and provides you intelligent security recommendations. In this dashboard, I'm going to click on this recommendations to show you some of the intelligent security recommendations the system has brought it up. Once it's loaded, you could see there is several of them. Let's just click on one of this which says add a web application firewall. As soon as I click this, you realize that in your environment, not just in Azure, it could be in your on-premises hybrid environment as well, you have several applications that is left unprotected, and you need to be able to protect it using a firewall. It's not only giving you the recommendation, but once you click through it, it can also help you to remediate that issue. In this case, it has no existing solutions. So you can click on the create new, and you could see Microsoft is truly open because it is supporting the platform ecosystem of several firewall vendors. So without even leaving this browser, with few clicks, you get the security information, the intelligent security recommendation that one of your application is not having a firewall, and you can immediately deploy one of the partner firewalls here if you choose to and fix this issue. Not just that. Many a times in this modern world, you might be noticing that security incidents are really left undetected. What happens is many a times in an IT infrastructure environment, there is some form of security incident happening, but as an IT professional, you realize that it has happened maybe after a few days or few months or even after longer. But that's not really good, right? You want to be notified. You want to be able to detect those security threats quick enough so that it doesn't create any business havoc for you. So within Azure Security Center, you have set of security alerts here. Once you click on the security alerts, you could see Azure Security Center using machine learning to learn and understand what is the normal behavior of your network and infrastructure. And then it uses correlation logic and behavioral analysis and understands that based on set of security alerts, a security incident has occurred. Let's actually drill down into one of these incidents to understand how easy it is for anybody. You need not be a security expert to really understand and detect this incident. As soon as I click on this particular security incident detected here, it actually loads the set of security alerts and also gives you a description of what it is and when it was detected, what is the severity level, and what was the attack surface. In this case, it was a VM which has been attacked, and it also gives you the remediation steps. But what is interesting is it has correlated. If you look at the timeline here, first you could see that an attacker has actually attempted to do a SQL injection that has been successfully blocked by your environment. And then he has continued to do a RDP brute force attack. But eventually that has been successful. So by looking at a set of unrelated events in some cases for us, but Azure is able to identify that as a related events and provide you the way for you to understand and even remediate the security incident. So overall, what I have shown you here is the robust built-in security capabilities that help you to manage your security environment. So starting from the Azure Monitor, Log Analytics, and the Azure Security Center, these are just a sample solutions for you to really showcase the end-to-end platform monitoring capability for hybrid environments Azure has, so that your organization can make use of Azure, which is truly your trusted partner and provides you a secure and well-managed cloud. Thank you. Back to Julia.
Fantastic. All right, now let's shift over to talking about building those applications that you're going to manage in an effective and secure way. Well, let's step back in terms of thinking about, the tools experience and using that DevOps mentality, as you heard Guy talk about, in terms of not just even from the core devs, but the holistic team, and making that continuous development experience a reality as you move to the cloud. And that's where our Visual Studio Team Services and our overall Visual Studio family really comes into play. And we have a robust set of capabilities that also let you build on with any language and building for any platform. Some of you may have known about a year ago, we bought an incredibly innovative company called Xamarin that does mobile DevOps and has this incredible capabilities from development to testing to feedback. And now that's just all part of Visual Studio and our family there. So with no additional charge, just part of our Visual Studio offering. So now in a holistic package, you have everything you need to do rich mobile development and DevOps experiences as you also think about that cloud transition, and then built based in and integrated with directly with Azure. So it's very, very seamless from that perspective. Now, as part of this, I'm very excited to announce that we have launching tomorrow, so you're getting a sneak preview, the general availability of Visual Studio 2017, a fantastic new release with great first-class mobile DevOps experiences among many other capabilities as well. But you'll see that hit the market tomorrow, so go out and take a look at that, and you'll also hear a lot about it here this week as well. But that's coming very soon on that front. Now, as you think about developing applications, that's the important part from a DevOps experience, making agile, listening to that customer feedback, moving quickly. But of course, data is the fuel of any application, and it's all about how you can make those applications intelligent and sophisticated, and even thinking about machine learning and things you saw in the management and security applied to those application experiences. And so it's thinking about how do you take the insights from the big data, putting analysis against it, and then coming to the action that you want to take with that data, and building that just as a first-class part of those applications in a really, really seamless way. So from innovating rapidly to thinking about how you get those data insights and showcasing them in incredible new kinds of experiences. So to show you what that looks like in action, I'm going to invite Craig up to give you a sense of what a really kind of modern cloud-based intelligent application looks like. So take it away, Craig.
Great. Thank you, Julia. Good morning, everyone. Now today I'm going to show you a modern intelligent application that really embodies all of those principles of intelligence that Julia spoke to, from data management to analytics and machine learning. Now the app I'm going to show you today is called First Response Online. It's an application for managing emergency response services like police, fire, and medical back in the city of Sammamish, back in Washington State. Now today I'm going to show you the Windows version of this application, but we actually also have a fully native iOS and Android version of this application built using .NET and the Xamarin platform that Julia also just mentioned. And that application is actually available on GitHub, and it's using 90% shared code with this Windows version. I'm going to actually go ahead and log in here as a police officer named John Clarkson. You'll see I get a nice map of my city. I can see where all of the emergency responders are distributed throughout the city. I can see where all the incidents are that are taking place. And I've just been dispatched a speeding incident. So somebody's reported a speeding vehicle. And I'm not doing anything now, so I'm going to go ahead and navigate to this incident. And when I get to the incident, I want to go ahead and identify this individual and see who they are and actually write my incident report. So I'm going to go ahead and identify this individual. And the person, I asked him what his name was, and he said his name was Zhao. Now, I didn't hear him so well, and I thought he said his name was Joe. So I'm going to go ahead and search the DMV database here for Joe. Now, you may notice here, I'm getting back responses that are not only exact matches for my search, which was Joe, but also close matches for names that sound like Joe. And this is because we're taking advantage of Azure Search, and our Azure Search Index has been configured with a custom analyzer that enables phonetic search, so I get those close matches. So I see now that the individual I'm speaking with is actually this gentleman here, so I'm going to go ahead and select him and associate him with my report. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the data that's actually powering this application, the data and services up in the cloud. So here I am back inside the Azure Management Portal. And I've got what's called an Azure Resource Group, which is a collection of services, all of the pieces that are powering my application. You'll notice here, I've got a whole bunch of SQL databases here. Let me explain why. This application was built by an ISV using a traditional horizontal sharding pattern. And what they've done is they've actually used several different databases, actually one for each agency, in this application to help with scalability. But my application actually needs to consume data from all of those different data sources simultaneously. And so what we've done here is we built something in Azure called Elastic Pools. Now you may think monitoring all those databases, scaling them, that's going to be kind of painful. But with Elastic Pools, we made it easy. So with Elastic Pools, I can actually put all those databases inside of a pool, and I can understand what my resource utilization is for those collection of databases from one place, and I can even scale those things together. So imagine a scenario where there's a natural disaster, something takes place in the city where all of those different agencies and all those different databases are going to need additional compute and storage resources. Right here, I can look at what the consumption is for all those databases in the pool, and right here with one slider bar, I can actually add additional capacity, click save, and immediately all of those different databases now have that additional capacity available to them. Now, from a developer point of view, the developers in the room, you may be thinking, querying and managing different databases from the application layer is also kind of painful. What we've done with the Elastic Data Tools in the Azure SDK is we've tried to make that much, much simpler. So you don't have to worry about querying all those databases and folding that data back together yourself. We handle that for you. So here, I'm actually running in Visual Studio here. I've got the ASP.NET Web API backend for my application. So this is the backend that all my clients, my client applications talk to. And this is actually running in the cloud in Azure App Service, but I'm debugging here on my local machine. And I'm inside a controller that actually issues a query to a database. So I'm going to go ahead and call this controller by issuing just a simple HTTP request. And I've got a debug breakpoint set here, and we're going to hit that breakpoint. And you'll notice with these three lines of code, I can gather up my connection string, create an array of my shards, and then with one line of code, execute what's called a multi-shard query. And that's going to do all that heavy lifting for me. So if I go ahead and let this run, and I pop back into PowerShell here, I'll see the results from that query. And you'll notice I'm getting data back from department type 3 and department type 2. So it's automatically folded that data back together for me from those multiple different agencies. Now, because this application was built on Azure SQL Database, we're taking full advantage of in-memory OLTP technology. And what that allows me to do also is to have real-time analytics over that data. So I'm going to log back into my application, this time as a supervisor. And now I have a nice dashboard available to me. And this is all powered by Power BI Embedded. It's right here available inside my application. And I can get a bird's eye view of all the incidents that are happening around the city and that have happened over the past several weeks and do some analysis over there to understand property crime, personal crime, other things like that. I can also do things like build word clouds, looking across all the police reports to understand what types of trends are emerging in the data. And I have here a word cloud, and unfortunately the word intoxication seems to be showing up a little too frequently in my city, so we may need to do something about that. Now, what if we could take this one step further? It's great to look backward and understand trends and see what's happening right now, this moment. What if we could actually understand what's about to happen in the future? From an emergency responder point of view, that's a pretty interesting proposition. Well, with the power of Azure Machine Learning, we now can do that. So here I am inside of Azure Machine Learning Studio, and what we've done is we've actually built a machine learning model that takes all of our historical incident data, as well as other data that is actually correlated to emergency incidents, things like weather, traffic, holiday information, you name it. And we've trained this model over many, many, many months. And now we have real-time information for the supervisor. And I've actually got a heat map right here in the application that shows me where incidents are most likely to occur next. So I can actually deploy my emergency responders to those areas, have them patrol there, and really shorten our response times and improve citizen satisfaction. So what I've shown you today is a fully native, intelligent application powered by the cloud, built with Visual Studio, .NET, Xamarin, and Azure. And now every developer in this room has the power and capability to build intelligent solutions like this. I'm going to hand it back over to Julia.
And I love this demo because it showcases, you know, certainly having a rich mobile application across different platforms that people could have access to. And that was certainly possible before. But because of the cloud, because of the compute capabilities, like things like machine learning that you saw, it actually adds another level of intelligence. So you go from being reactive in the situation to proactive. And I think that is why Microsoft holistically is so excited about this area and investing so deeply across the board in that stack, that technology stack. All right. So as part of that, too, I'm actually excited to announce another announcement today specific to our Azure Government Cloud, which I talked about earlier, those dedicated areas. We're now bringing some of these new incredible data services. First, Power BI Pro, which you saw that beautiful dashboard created in, as well as HD Insights now available in the Azure Government Cloud offering. And then we're also previewing our new cognitive services APIs, things like facial recognition, voice, really taking it to that next level. And Craig, actually, a little bit later, will be showing a whole session on what's possible with cognitive services. But I've been able to work with agencies across the globe on doing things like facial recognition and applications to take what they're doing to the next level. So tons of potential in this area. And this is one of many new services we're continuing to bring to our government cloud offering. So definitely encourage you to take advantage of these new capabilities. All right, switching gears from the kind of core infrastructure and that application innovation and data and insights area, to our productivity and business processes section. Now, this really ultimately, as we think about it, is creating a secure and productive environment for your organizations. And we very specifically talk about those things together. You need organizations that are very, very productive, but it has to be done in a way that's secure and configurable in terms of what your unique organization needs. Now, kind of, why is that? Why is this such a hot topic right now? Well, technology is changing for sure, but so are organizations and the challenges they face. You know, some interesting stats in terms of the number of hours people are working, the number of teams across the globe and within their organizations that they're trying to work with. We're very, very collectively, from a collaboration perspective, it's becoming much more centered to company and organizational culture across the world. And then information overload, which has been a perennial problem, has not reduced. In fact, it's kind of jumped up. I think about 10 years ago, I worked on our email business, and people would tell me about information overload back then. And just think about the new forms of information they're getting now that don't even touch what we had back then. So really thinking about how we get people to be productive. Because ultimately, human beings have a fixed amount of capacity in our brains, and the information is exploding. So how do we navigate those things in a successful way? And that's really the catalyst and the investments in these areas. And as we think about kind of how do we do that? How do we create that secure and productive environment? We've collectively built together Windows 10, Office 365, and their enterprise mobility and security offering to work together to provide that kind of people-centric security and that rich productivity experience from a cloud offering. So spend a little time what those things are specifically. First, Windows 10. Our most secure Windows ever. The amount of security technology and the types of security we're doing in this platform are untouched, like absolutely mind-blowing technology. And I get to work across our security portfolio of the whole company, and people will ask me, what's the most innovative security you're doing at Microsoft? And I'll point to Windows 10. Incredible opportunity in that area. And that's why you're seeing so many government organizations standardize on Windows 10 is really about that rich security experience. But of course, it's also about that great productivity experience, that personalized computing with the way Windows 10 enables your employees to be productive and feel great about the work they're doing while knowing that the security is just built right in that area. And then, of course, into Office 365, which is a huge set of capabilities from email and collaboration, real-time, the core Office applications themselves, a robust, incredible standard. And as actually Guy and I didn't have a chance to talk about it on stage, but you know, it used to be back in the day, people would look at Office 365 and just do email, which was his experience in his past organization as well. But that's really just a tiny bit of the capabilities and what unlocks in that. And thinking about teaming with people across the globe, working with so many different virtual teams and organizations, this rich platform that's been built together to create that holistic experience. And the latest capability with Office 365 is Microsoft Teams. A great new experience. If you haven't tried it, I encourage you to do so, where teams can quickly come together, see all their collaboration, all the team information, and a holistic hub right there in a central way. So again, continuing to innovate in new ways around Office 365. And then our enterprise security, mobility, and security offering. And that allows you to put, you know, work securely across any device, iOS, Android, Windows, in a holistic way, as well as do rich identity management, and identity-driven security, as well as thinking about all of your cloud assets and making sure things like data loss prevention are applied appropriately across all the different cloud services you're using, not just the Microsoft ones, because obviously you're using lots of different cloud services in your organizations, and doing that in a consistent and holistic way. But kind of the magic is when they kind of all come together into great experiences. So again, I'm going to now introduce Brad to come up and give you a sense of what's possible as you think about those technologies working in concert. So take it away.
Thank you so much, Julia. So as Julia said, Office 365 really is a very, very broad and expansive platform. I'm going to take you through a very quick tour of some of the things that you can do, things that you can take advantage of from there. There will be a lot more to learn, so I encourage you to come back for the Office General session to see a lot more of this, because we're just going to go very quickly through here. Now, like most of you, I start my day on my phone. It's where I spend most of my time as I'm moving around these days, especially when I'm on the road like this. And information overload on my phone is a very big problem for me. I get tons and tons of email. But one thing that you can see right at the top here is I have two tabs, focused and other. We're actually using machine learning to go in and watch what emails I read, how I use my email, and we're learning from that. So the focused mails are all the mails that are important to me based on my actions. And if I click over on the other tab, you can see these are all still relevant mails, but based on the way I interact with my mail, these are things that are lower priority for me. Now, the system learns as I use it, but if there's a mail that's here incorrectly and I want to, I can move it back and I can also train that system. Now, you see some other things here helping me with that information overload. So you see I've got a couple of meetings coming up. Very quickly, visually, I get these icons right here on the meeting, so I can see I've got a coffee meeting, I've got a telephone call coming. So very, very quick, easy to get to that data and go with it. You'll also notice that Megan has sent me a mail, but you notice this little blue on my name. Megan's actually done what's called @mentionme. As she was typing the mail, she types the at sign. It'll auto-complete for her out of the global address book, add me to the to line, make it very easy for her to reference me and give me an action item to do, but also very easy for me to see highlighted right here that I have an action item. You also notice some other mails that I'm @mentioned in. They have the little @ symbol next to them on the right-hand side. So very quickly when I'm on the go and I'm on the phone, being able to look at those mails that I have to take action on right from here. Now, another thing I do a lot of is schedule meetings when I'm on the go. And sometimes this can be very challenging. But we've really done a lot of work around this space. So if I set this up here, and we'll go ahead, we'll have a quick call here. And I'll invite a couple of my friends. I need to talk to Megan. I need to talk to Isaiah, so we'll add him. And when I come in here for the time for my meeting, you notice as I slide it up and down, it can very easily tell me what's free, what's available on my calendar. But if you watch down the bottom here, you'll see I can actually see the individual attendees free and busy as I move into these time slots. So just because something's busy, if I want to optimize for a particular set of attendees and I have to choose the best available time, I can choose to do that right here, all with my fingertips. But now I do a lot more than just my email on my phone. And one of the things I use a lot is Microsoft Teams. Here I've got it up running on my phone. Microsoft Teams is a persistent chat-based tool for helping these high-velocity teams collaborate and work together. So you can see I've got a marketing team, I've got a team for a new product that we're working on here. I've even got some other teams related to my job that I care about. And all of these different teams have channels for them. So if I look here in the general channel, you can see all of the different chats and threads and conversations that have gone on for the team. So we can go back and forth, we can discuss things, we can collaborate with each other on those items. If a new person joins my team, all of that history and knowledge is available for me right here. I can also flip over, see my different channels, all of my different files. But I'm going to flip now over here to my PC. And you can see here, I've got Teams opened on my PC. I've got the exact same experience available to me. So whether I'm mobile, whether I'm at my desk, I've got a great experience, all the same functionality that's here. You can see that Megan not only has started a chat here, but she's actually attached in a product brochure that we could take a look at. I can reply and say, this is great. I can also take and have a meeting about this. I can attach in a lot of different items if I wanted to. I've even got my complete collection of GIFs and emojis and everything else, and so nothing says it better than maybe a nice high five there for the team. So a very rich way to collaborate. You can also see I've got access to all of the files for the team. If I wanted to look at different notes from OneNote, all of our team meeting notes are all right here. I can even extend this out. So if I wanted to, say, put in a rich Power BI dashboard with a lot of sales metrics that the team monitors, I can do that. And I can continue to extend this out even more as I go on. Now, I've also got my email here. I've got a lot of information in my email. You can see a lot of the same things I just saw. A couple things to show you here real quick. Sometimes people send me phishing emails trying to get me to click on links and do things. Now, some of these are really obvious. If someone sends me an email from a foreign country and they're a prince who wants to send me money, I'm probably not going to click on it. The challenge is these attackers are getting really sophisticated today. And so you'll see them taking and researching their targets on social sites, learning about what they do, and actually crafting very well-written emails to people to get them to click on a link. With Office 365, we can actually take and protect these links. So here, you know, it looks like this is a legitimate email talking about something I am doing. But when I click on it, you can see that Office is able to detonate that link in a chamber, realize it's going to do malicious things, and protect my PC. However, if I click on another link that makes me think it's good because it goes to Bing, Office recognizes it's good and takes and lets me through. And this extends with things like Windows Defender ATP, so it's constantly learning and evolving, and the systems can talk to each other to get better for your network. We can also take and do things like blocking attachments. So you can see here, for example, Alex attempted to send me some malicious software, but we were able to block that as well. I should probably stop reading my mail from Alex, but thankfully, Office is keeping me safe. Now, there are some other good things that you can do here. So, for example, I can start this tool called My Analytics. Here, earlier, I sent an email to the entire company. Sometimes you wonder, does anyone actually read your emails? Well, here I can see that 35% of the company has read my mail. Maybe I should do a little bit better authoring, maybe a little bit better subject line. And I can see this nice little graph here as well to understand how it was read. Now, this is all private information, so I'm not knowing who read it exactly. I'm just seeing all the data in aggregate. But I can click on this link to view more information, and I can actually see a lot of information about me in my analytics. This is all personal information. I can see it. My manager cannot. But I can see how many hours I'm meeting, how much I'm doing email. It's also being proactive. So in this case, it noticed that I am spending time with others in a lot of meetings. Maybe we should do things about that. I can see who I'm talking with, who I'm losing touch with. I can even drill in and see that I seem to multitask in a large percentage of my meetings. Maybe I should think about not going to those meetings. Maybe they're not quite as relevant as I need or want. A couple of things here just to show you. Last, before we wrap up, we'll take a look at Word. I've got a document here. This document happens to have the words Project Falcon. Now, my IT department has already said that Project Falcon is a protected Word, this is probably sensitive information. So this document has already been flagged without me doing anything. Now if I try to share this, maybe I'm going to email it out and I'm going to mail this out, and I'll go ahead and I'll mail this to myself. And I'll just start typing. And now what will happen is Outlook will take and it starts to recognize that this is going out to an external organization. So it will start to tell me these things. I can also take and have it set up so that not only will it warn me that it's going to an external organization, but I can also have it block me from sending that if I'm going to send it. And the last thing I'll show you today is PowerPoint. Now, I am... You know, I'm an information worker. I am not a visual designer. Me and black and white slides, we've become very, very good friends. Thankfully, there's a lot of intelligence built into PowerPoint. So let's say I want to stick a few photos into here. So we'll grab these couple of photos. And I'll go ahead and I'll just insert these photos on here. You notice as soon as I do this, PowerPoint is actually going to give me a bunch of very rich designs that I can choose from over here and do this. You'll also notice it looks at the image. And so, for example, the faces and the people are centered for me automatically in there. The color palette that it picks up is from all of my images. Same thing with bulleted list. Here I typed a bulleted list, and now with just one touch, I've got a lot of different designs that I can put in for that particular list. So very, very little effort, but now I can convey my point very visually. I look like I've spent $1 million on my slides when in reality, I've spent about 30 seconds here of my demo doing it. So you can see a lot of the different functionality and features, a lot of the collaboration, the intelligence, the security that is built inside of Office 365. There's a lot more to show than we had time to this morning, so I encourage you to take a look during the general session and dig in deeper. Thank you very much.
Now, across the board, hopefully you've seen the demos and the technology. I think people maybe a few years back would think about the cloud as just being about efficiency, bringing down costs, and doing the same thing you could do on premises or that you're used to, but doing it in the cloud. But now it's really about the capabilities fundamentally that are possible because of the cloud, that PowerPoint intelligence, the My Analytics, understanding my works and sites, giving you that machine learning predictive model in that first responders app of where do you need to be versus where are you waiting to respond to. That's the shift that the cloud makes possible. Yes, of course, there's great cost savings and efficiency, absolutely. But what it's unlocking in terms of fundamental innovation and how you can run your organization in a completely different way, whether it be the employee productivity experience or your fundamental business applications, is a big change. And I really encourage you to think differently as you think about your cloud journey. So as you do that, lots of resources to help you on that journey, whether you're an IT professional, whether you're a developer, whether you're a business decision maker and leading that change effort. We have a number of resources you can tap into to successfully think about that cloud journey, how to optimize it and make sure that everyone is able to succeed in the cloud era on that front. So just to bring it back home again, so many different aspects of Microsoft Cloud, of robust, comprehensive capabilities that ultimately come together to shape that holistic Microsoft Cloud and really work in concert. So thinking about things like, gosh, if you're starting with Office 365 and you've looked at our security and compliance capabilities, those same things are true of Azure, of our data capabilities, of Dynamics 365, so you inherit that across all of those. So with that, enjoy the rest of the next few days. Take full advantage of the many, many experts and resources here. I encourage you to learn as much as possible and go forth and be very successful. Thank you so much.